Senator Scott Brown, the junior senator from Massachusetts, published a memoir that recounts his difficult childhood and his climb from county assessor to United States senator. His book is out this week, and it's called Against All Odds. Senator Brown joins us now. Senator Scott Brown, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hey, great to be on. Good afternoon.
It's great to have you on the show. Listeners, we're taking your calls for the senator as well. What questions do you have for Senator Brown? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Senator Brown, in your book Against All Odds, you write very personally for more than half the book about your really tough childhood, and a lot of our listeners I know have heard you now speak publicly about sexual abuse that you endured and also physical violence from family members. But what I also, particularly caught my attention is the stories that you write about, how your childhood was so tough that oftentimes you were really just hungry. And in fact, so hungry that you went out and, had to steal hamburger meat from a Wakefield market just to have something to eat in the afternoon. So, the totality of the experience of your boyhood here in Massachusetts, I'm wondering today in Washington, D.C., what aspect do you take of your youth when you, you're thinking about the policies you want to make and the votes that you cast, things like that?
Well, certainly I take my work ethic and my desire to, be a better person and a more thoughtful person. And I try to take those life experiences, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, to, do better and be better. And when we're dealing with the issues affecting people, when we're spending their money, I obviously know the value of a dollar, as many other people do. And I try to make sure that we get a good value for our dollar.
I mean, in that case, people have asked you in other forums, why is it that since, you say that your mother, she worked really hard, multiple jobs at many times to try and make ends meet. She couldn't always. And so your family was on welfare. You've voted to, say, roll back supports for unemployment or not extend unemployment benefits, things like that. It seems to be a bit of a conflict between your personal experience with government aid and how you voted recently in the Senate.
Well, I have to respectfully disagree. Certainly welfare and the welfare benefits, we run it periodically. It was meant to be a short-term safety net so we could get back on our feet. It's not meant to be something for your whole life. Number one, and I did vote to extend unemployment insurance benefits. I also did, however, offer an alternative to saddling future generations with another $60 billion worth of debt by offering a way to pay for it today with money that's already in the system and ultimately get it out the door now versus adding another $60 billion onto the $14 trillion national debt that we're already incurring.
Well, on that note, Senator Brown, as you well know, because the vote's coming your way, there is a very contentious budget battle going on in Congress right now. And as you mentioned, you also write in your book that you definitely, from your personal experience, the value of a dollar and that you're a staunch fiscal conservative. So the Congress has to come up with some kind of budgetary agreement by March 4th. Don't know if that's going to happen. So do you think that a government shutdown would maybe be preferable to passing a bill that doesn't include all the cuts that, say, House Republicans have put in their version of the budget?
Well, first of all, I don't know anybody in the minority party in the Senate that's talking about a government shutdown. I haven't heard it once. The only people I hear talking about it right now are the majority party, some folks over there. The House has made their proposal, and we will in turn go forward and take their considerations under consideration. But my hope is that we'll all get together, administration, minority and majority parties, and sit down and figure out a budget that we can all live with, because we can't continue spending the astronomical amounts that we are. I mean, since I've been there, $11.95 trillion national debt when I first got there, it's over $14 trillion and racing even higher. And we absolutely need to get our fiscal house in order, else we're not going to be competitive globally.
Let's take a call from Lowell. Ray is on the line. Welcome to Radio Boston, Ray.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
I just have a general comment that just boggles my mind, and it's to eliminate all the bickering in Washington, D.C. over what to cut. I don't understand why first, we just don't eliminate all the unnecessary things like the F-35 engine and everything, or maybe shift like farm subsidies over to like fruits and vegetables subsidies. That way we'll spur like healthy eating and everything. And then finally, just take a 10% or whatever percentage we want to take across the board. And that way it'll affect everybody, and everybody shouldn't complain about that. And then
let me stop you there, and then you can take the second half. I don't want to get too far ahead. Actually, I made a proposal to do a 5% across the board cut about 3 or 4 months ago, and that's a great idea. I'm not necessarily opposed to what you're saying, and it didn't pass. A 10%, sure. I mean, I think everything's on the table, and I think we need to step outside the box. With regard to the subsidies and the other things, I think everything's on the table.
Bray, thank you so much for your call. Anne is calling from Milton. Welcome to Radio Boston, Anne.
Well, thank you. Good afternoon, Senator Brown. I want to thank you for stepping out and acknowledging your history of sexual abuse. And as a survivor myself, I guess I'm a little concerned that when this happens, we immediately go to, you know, what priest did what, where do sexual offenders live, where are the registries, and I'm hoping that we can have more of a discussion about how we prevent this by training parents and kids and those who provide for kids in child care centers, because the average pedophile has over 140 victims over the course of their lifetime. They're also predominantly sexually abused themselves. How do we and how can you help us break that cycle?
Well, that's a good question, and obviously it's something I've been thinking more and more about. It took obviously a long time for me to kind of come to grips and get away from the embarrassment of it all. I think that was the biggest thing, and then just the stigma attached to it, certainly. And I've been really encouraged by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have emails, texted, called and said, you know, it happened to me, it happened to my mother, my brother, my friend. And certainly prevention is something that we need to obviously deal with. And my daughter called me the other night and said, Dad, I get it now. I get why you're always saying stranger danger, and make sure you're always with somebody. And if somebody does A, B, C, and D, make sure you tell mom, don't be embarrassed, because that's the biggest thing. It's the fear, it's the embarrassment, and it's the helplessness that you feel when these things happen, especially at a young age.
Anne, thank you very much for your call. Senator Brown, if I can follow up Anne's great question, actually, with a comment that we got on Facebook from one of our Facebook friends. Actually, by the way, we checked out your Facebook site, and you've got 235,000 likes. It's pretty impressive.
235,000? Wow. I checked it recently. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty impressive. But one of the folks who happens to like Radio Boston's Facebook page, her name's Malika, and she also commends you for speaking out about your experience with sexual abuse. But she also went on to write this. She said, I think it's important for men especially to stand up and tell their stories, to begin to lift the veil of shame for male victims of sexual assault. However, I really do not understand why Senator Brown does not pursue bringing his molester to justice. To me, it does not matter if he needs the man to be brought to justice for his own healing, but he needs to be brought to justice, the abuser, to prevent future molestations. So what do you have to say about that, Senator Brown?
Well, certainly I appreciate your kind words, first of all. Secondly, I have no evidence to suggest that there are any future or further victims. But more importantly, for each person, I mean, just for me to kind of wrestle with this for 42 years, and then, you know, now that it's out, all of a sudden everyone say, oh, you got to do A, B, C, and D. It shows me that some of these folks don't really understand what it's like to be in that position. And you know, I'm a forward thinker, and I'm trying to move on with my life and spend time with my family and do my job. And if it happened 2 years ago, sure, I'd jump on it in a second. But it was 42 years ago, and obviously there are a tremendous amount of evidentiary issues and other things at stake. But, you know, if I can bring forward people like me coming forward, and if it's been more recent, to give them the courage. You know, people say, you know, and you didn't tell your wife. Well, my wife read about it in the manuscripts about a month ago. And also, she had sensed, based on my interaction with my daughters, that something was wrong. But she had the love not to really push it, and knew when I was ready. And if fact that I have had this opportunity, it kind of opened the door a little bit for me to kind of say, you know what, I'm just going to do it and see what I can do to help, you know, get it out there. And as people may or may not know, when they get the book, it's only 8 pages out of an almost 400-page book, but they're certainly powerful. And I think for each person, each victim, it's different. You know, they have to wrestle with these things differently in their own time and space.
Mm. Senator Brown, we have a pile of your constituents who want to talk with you as well. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. If I can let a few more people ask you a couple of questions, that'd be great.
You got about 2 more minutes because I have to actually run to a meeting.
Okay. Barney is calling from Needham. Welcome to Radio Boston, Barney.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be able to make a comment. I would just like to say that I don't share the same political background or philosophy with the senator. I totally applaud and admire what he has done, how he has faced his issues, and that I would never hold him personally or politically responsible for backing any policy. He can't save the world, but he may save a young man or a young woman who reads this book or who knows that he was able to succeed and face all these issues. So that responsibility he's met to himself, and as far as I'm concerned, even though I'm a flaming Democrat, I applaud the fact that he has done this. This is what he is as a man, not a politician.
Barney, thank you so much for your call. Senator Brown, before I know we have to let you go, but I just want to get one last question in here. You know, the book is quite a read. It's called Against All Odds. And in it, you actually wrote, "I'm a personally a strong believer in term limits for any office I would hold." Yep. You said you were committed to serving no more than 4 years as a state rep here in Massachusetts.
Four terms.
Four terms.
As a rep, as a senator, I already took a term limits pledge as 2 full terms as a United States senator. I'm honored to make it that far. So
2 full terms.
Yep, that would be 15 total years.
Senator Scott Brown, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope to have you back on the program sometime soon.
I enjoyed it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Coming up after a short break, we look at a possible banner year for the Bay State at this weekend's Oscars. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Anthony Brooks.
This is Radio Boston.